Welcome to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders impacting our community. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Micah Ecumenical Ministries and Coldest Night of the Year, our focus this morning with Megan Cotter and Jill Claire this morning. Good morning to both of you.
Good morning.
Morning.
Thank you for getting up and coming in this morning. Before we get going and talk about Coldest Night of the Year, Megan, it has been a cold, snowy winter, and I would think that has put a lot of pressure on Micah, and that if people can volunteer or contribute to just the everyday work of Micah, that would be appreciated right now.
Jill and I are sitting here thinking, thank God it's not January anymore.
It was that long.
No, there is an impending snowstorm next week. But
yeah, and that's what, as soon as I saw the forecast, and our Weather Channel guy says to me, 4 to 9 inches he's looking at, and I thought, Micah doesn't need that. The people who are working outside.
We right. were very disappointed in the groundhog.
Yeah. Because it's been so much colder, it seems, this year than we usually get.
This has been one of the coldest Januaries I can remember, and several people I've talked to, like, I measure that in how long the snow stuck around. Mm-hmm. Never in my lifetime do I remember the snow sticking around as long as it has.
In the parking lots. It's just now going away.
Yeah.
And it was like over a month ago.
Yeah.
And the folks that we serve, you know, they sleep outside.
Right.
They camp in safe places where they can. And when there's a lot of snow on the ground, that really impacts a campsite, you know. So it's why we run cold weather shelters, so that they don't have to do that.
Yeah.
And the longer the snow sticks around, the worse their conditions are.
Well, and that's the thing. The cold weather shelter, I'm sure, is going to set all kinds of records for how many nights you've had to had to use it this winter. And so that's why, just separate even from when we get into the coldest night of the year talk, getting involved with Micah right now would be very helpful to what you're doing.
Yeah, there's lots of different ways to get involved. I mean, we have about a month and a half left of the cold weather shelter, but it's everything from, you know, bus drivers to resources to we have had so, our numbers have been so high that even with two different shelter locations, one for men, one for women, we have still had to put people in hotels to accommodate the number of people that we have had coming in. And so, you know, it's been a bit of a touch and go, and we've done some special fundraisers to try to raise some resources to help support that, because we don't have limitless resources for hotel rooms.
So if you can get involved in any way, it would be a big, big help to Micah. And I guess one of the things to show you how bad it is, because, I mean, a lot of times I know you struggle to get people to go to shelters. Some people resist that. The fact that big numbers are going shows just how miserable it has been at night outside.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and actually, you know, we've been working really intentionally with some of the local community efforts that do more of like pop-up street outreach, and law enforcement has interactions and whatnot to really identify and encourage those who are outside and not coming in. And a lot of times when they stop coming in, it's either a sign they've given up, or it's a sign that they just can't handle the volume of people that are staying in a congregate location. And so there's usually a special kind of care that needs to be exerted in order to help them get out of that situation.
MicahFredericksburg.org, if you can get involved and look out and check Facebook too. And there are a lot of good things. And like you say, there have been some efforts to just raise some funds for right now. But this is, you both just look tired. You do.
Thank you. It's
been that way, but because it really has been, and all of a sudden you're starting to look at another storm.
Yeah, and I should have said this too. There are volunteer orientations on first and third Fridays. That is a really just a good way to come in and learn about all the things we do. not, we don't, we do a lot more than just the cold weather shelter. So there's a, it's a good opportunity to come in and learn a little bit more about all that we do and figure out how your gifts can be used in order to care for, help care for our neighbors.
And it's, yeah, no, that's important, Megan, too, to say that, because you do, you don't just, you if a volunteer doesn't feel like they can do certain things, you'll find some place where their gifts are.
Yeah.
Okay. Quick break. We're going to come back and get into coldest night of the year. That is coming up in a couple of weeks, and we'll get into all of that this morning with Megan Cotter and Jill Clare. More on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Download the all-new News Talk 1230 WFVA app for Apple and Android. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756. And now, here's your host, Ted Schubel.
It is time for coldest night of the year. Just, it's Jill Clary and Jill Clare and Megan Cotter here this morning from Micah. It just seems like it's been the coldest year so far. It's just to talk about a night. But February 22nd, a couple Saturdays from now, it's coldest night of the year. Jill, this is it's a walk, it's a fundraiser. It really is a time of community.
Yes, this is an international fundraiser, actually. Organizations from Canada and the U.S. participate in it, and we are one of them. This is Micah's third year participating in Coldest Night, and it's a 5K family-friendly fundraising walk. In order to sign up, you just go to cnoy.com/Fredericksburg, and there's all kinds of information on that site about how it works, where it is, what time to be there. Everything you need is right there, and you can register there. When you register, you get a handy-dandy, like, super easy-to-use link to your fundraising portal that comes along with registration. And from there, it's, you know, a peer-to-peer fundraiser. You use that link and ask your dad, and you ask your dentist, and you ask your coworker, would you give to me to support the 5K that I'm walking? And all funds go towards Micah's work. And so that's how the fundraiser works from, like, a big picture. It's a whole bunch of people collecting relatively small amounts of money from everybody that they know, and you get those totals reflected on your scoreboard. Everybody who raises $150 or more earns themselves a Coldest Night of the Year beanie that they get to pick up when they come to check in on the day of.
And you can see that on our Facebook page right now, because we talked about it yesterday, and there's,
yeah, I think
you and
I was
Clay
wearing it. Yeah.
You were wearing it, yes.
So we know that we are going to, like, flood the sidewalks of Fredericksburg with a million of those beanies, because so many people work to fundraise so that they can earn that beanie, like, to show that they are part of this movement to be a community where nobody has to sleep outside. It's $150 to earn your beanie, $75 if you're a kid, if you're under 18. And then on Saturday, February 22nd, we all come together at Riverfront Park in the evening hours. Check-in starts at 4, and everybody who signs up shows up there to walk the 5K together. Mm-hmm. It is a walk. It is not a race. It is not timed. There is no prize for being first. It is all about safety once we're doing the walk. And, you know, it's leisurely. You're walking alongside friends and neighbors, people that you know, people that you don't yet know. And it's a chance to have conversations. It's a chance to build relationships and build community. I have heard lots of stories from previous years about people who have gotten to know other people well, like, during the course of the 5K walk, and finding out, like, what it is that why it is you participate, why you walk, what it is about Micah, what it is about building a community where homelessness is over that speaks to you, and why you wanted to be here for this event. And so it's leisurely, it's a chance to talk to people, and it's a really, really meaningful event. There's a reason that it's a wintertime, nighttime walk. It's going to be chilly at minimum. It might be crazy freezing. Who knows? Because the idea is, like, you're out there, you're walking. You know that when you're done with your 5K, you have a warm home to go to and, you know, warm food to eat. But our neighbors, the people that Micah walks alongside, they don't have that. You know, so it gives you a chance to think as you're walking, like, what if I didn't have a place to go to?
Sure.
Yeah, so it's that experience too. It's been just a really good event for MICA. We look forward to it every year at this point, and we know the community looks forward to it as a way to support us.
Well, and Fredericksburg as far as the organization as a whole, Fredericksburg has done really well fundraising wise.
Yes, Coldest Night is Fredericksburg is king of Coldest Night, I should say.
King of Coldest, yeah.
Yes, we at MICA have been the number one fundraising organization both years that we have done it for the whole country, and we are currently on the leaderboards, number one right now.
By
and
a lot.
We're gonna keep that. But you know, in order to keep that number one spot. That's in terms of amount of money raised and amount of walkers who register, mm-hmm. both things. In order to keep that number one spot, we need people to sign up, show up, and fundraise for us like everybody has done the last 2 years. And so now is the time to register and start walking. We are 15 days out, so it is time to fundraise. It is time to sign up.
Well, and that's the thing. I think a lot of people do wait because they've done it now for a couple of years, and you know we know how it works. But you're right. It's time to get on the ball and get this rolling.
Now is the time. CNOY.com/Fredericksburg is where you go, and we have like 385 people as of this morning when I looked last registered. I'm positive that number is going to hit 400 today, positive. And I'm thinking that we'll be in the range of 800 by the time Saturday the 22nd is here. And 800 people at Riverfront Park, like all celebrating the work that Mike is doing and celebrating their fundraising success, is an experience that you don't want to miss.
Yeah. Well, and Megan, you've had the honor and the opportunity both years to speak to everyone, to look out at that kind of a group and know these kind of people are behind MICA and are willing to take their time and their money to do it. It's got to be quite a feeling.
It's pretty incredible. And, you know, we get asked every year, you know, like, what is Fredericksburg doing that you all are so far ahead? Of every other place in the country, and I gotta think it has something to do with not just what we do, you know, for 6 months of the year to get ready for this event. It's what we've done the last 20 years, mm-hmm. to really give people a new vision and a new hope for what kind of community we can be. How we can build a home for our neighbors, and how how the least important among us can be cared for and loved in a meaningful way. And I think that's energizing. And I think Fredericksburg is really bought into that idea. And, you know, it's why I think we are able to do some of the big things that are on our horizon.
I never thought of it that way, but you're right, because you think about it, and MICA has been anything but stagnant ever. Because mm-hmm. you just think of when people came out of the hospital doing that kind of care, or Hesed House, or now Jeremiah Community, and all the little and big things in between. There always has been something, and a lot of people see what's going on.
Yeah, this isn't just a walk. It's a movement. It's mm-hmm. a movement of a community that really believes in caring for all people. And when you sign up for Coldest Night, when you give to support this event, you're really signing on for a groundswell of people who are rallying around being a different kind of community and doing some really cool things to care for folks who have a hard time.
And when you think about it, you think of the large numbers that got behind you and spoke to the City Planning Commission and City mm-hmm. Council with Jeremiah Project, or the number of people that come out always on a, you know, in end of October every year when you gather to remember those who've passed away, or
right.
It is a movement.
All those things add up.
Yeah,
all those things. That
there's a lot of there's a lot of people involved, and people see that, and that's why I mean, because I remember the first year of Coldest Night, and we did these talks, and as it built, and both you and Jill and others were just like, we, you know, so many people. were signing up
and
giving before the event.
Yeah. Well, and you know, I have to keep citing Joe Hensley and what he said to the city council during our public hearing. You know, we're not developers. You know, we're community builders, and I think Coldest Night and Jeremiah Community and some of the things that we have been doing over time are evidence of all the different ways we bring people together, not just the money in their pockets, but their hearts, to come alongside and care meaningfully for and with people who are learning to be part of our community again.
It's so interesting when you think about the people, the meals that a lot of churches will do. A church will pick a night how many people have been so faithful over the years in that?
Oh,
and there's just been so many people like that have been faithful with Micah for as long as I've known you.
Yeah, you know, like the number that sticks in my head is like I think you know in any given year we have. At least 500 volunteers that participate in some way. And sometimes that's weekly volunteers, sometimes that's monthly volunteers, sometimes that's one-time volunteers. Hmm. And to some degree, I think, you know, it's probably more than that at this point. you know, it just, you know, it's hard to count the number of people whose hands have been on this mission and this ministry that we're bringing to life and continuing to evolve and live into.
You think of something like Street Church, and whenever you do events, especially around Christmas, is what comes to mind. Sure. When you do carols, but you do there are other things, and there's a group there. Micah really, you just can't really say that's what Micah does now. There just are so many facets.
Yeah, I mean, there's easily 20,000-30,000 people connected to our downtown churches you know, the core of who we are and our identity in the community. And, you know, beyond that, there's 40-plus churches that are not part of our governing structure that are connected to us in some way. They, you know, provide meals, they pack lunches, they run, they help us make beds at the cold weather shelter. You know, there's so many different people that come together around building a community.
I know the Micah Center over on Princess Anne Street is always busy. I remember you saying many times that just to look at the Micah Center and to see what happens there, that's so many people look at that and say, well, that's what they do. And again, that's just, again, another little piece.
Yeah. I mean, it lives in people's minds that, you know, and a lot of this is because the church typically thrives in most communities in survival ministry and helping people, you know, eat, get clothing, get showers to survive on the street. And we do those things in lots of different ways, but we also meaningfully get to know people who live on the streets and work with them relationally to try and build trust and do the things that family would ordinarily do to help them to get out of that situation and get back into a more stable situation.
Well, the goal this year, Jill, is a lot higher, which also means people need to start, like you said, start fundraising right now and try to get more people involved. And that's what it's going to take. And you are truly, we have discovered painfully, all of us, you are really the only one who can seamlessly do the website. When others of us have tried, we always get it wrong. And it just flows with you.
It rolls off the tongue. I don't know why you have trouble.
you always have a position because you do this so well. But really, to get to $200,000, you gotta get there, and it's there are reach out to people maybe you haven't reached out to.
Exactly. So first, the website, cnoy.com/Fredericksburg. Super easy to remember, super easy to go to. We set a ambitious goal this year, $200,000, because we know that we're a community that can hit that. Each year in the past, both years in the past that we've participated in Coldest Night, we have exceeded our goal significantly.
Yeah.
So we decided this year, like, we are going to set something really ambitious. We're going to put a lot of faith in it. We're going to know that our community will see that number and will help us get there.
Yeah.
We and that money, that $200,000 goal, that goes towards the work that Micah is doing, you know, already day in and day out. So we're trying to talk as much as we can, too, about how we come alongside our neighbors, like what cold weather shelter has looked like this year, what our numbers have looked like,
yeah,
how we serve folks at the respite house, how we serve folks at Hesed House, how we do all the things that we're already doing. Because that $200,000 goal comes right to us to go to that ongoing work with our neighbors.
Yeah, it's not just some number you just thought, oh, that looks good. Let's do that. You can use that. There's the, yes, with all these ministries that we talk about, that it can be used.
Mm-hmm. And there's need, you know. Because we set such a big goal, if I'm honest, I'm a little bit nervous about hitting it this year, if I'm honest. But
you're going to hit it.
I'm aiming for optimism because, you know, we see this event,
yeah,
in the last 2 weeks just like explode in terms of participation and in terms of fundraising dollars coming in. The last 2 weeks are where the action happens for Coldest Night of the Year, and we are right there. So now is the time. Sign up if you've been waiting. Start fundraising if you've been waiting. If you're a team captain or if you know folks who might want to join up with you while you're walking, get them to sign up. Now is the time. It's cnoy.com/Fredericksburg.
When we come back, we're going to talk about why the art of giving and what and just how getting involved and being able to give like this does really change you. And these are tough times, but we'll talk about just how this can be just such a big moment for our community. Joe Clare and Megan Cotter here from Micah Ecumenical Ministries, MicahFredericksburg.org, also to find out more about the work of Micah if you want to get involved there also, and many, many ways to do that. More on News Talk 1230 WFVA. It's almost 8:30.
From the Fredericksburg.today online news studios, this is News Talk 1230 WFVA Fredericksburg, a Centennial Broadcasting Station focused on Fredericksburg. Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230. You can weigh in about today's topic on Facebook at WFVA 1230 and by text at 540-371-5756. Here's your host, Ted Schubel.
Coldest Night of the Year is February 22nd in Fredericksburg. It begins and ends at the Riverfront Park. And Joe Clare is here along with Megan Cotter from Micah Ecumenical Ministries. The website for more information on Coldest Night of the Year would be
cnoy.com/Fredericksburg.
No, but I would say it. It would be easy for me to say, but Jill, since I've got you here, we can do that. This is a tough time. People are concerned, but we should probably talk just a little bit, just kind of about Megan, about giving and how giving can change you. And maybe you can't give as much this year, but still give. There's something about just the community aspect of this event, but also just the whole art of giving.
Well, if there's ever a time to recognize how important the local personal dollar is to caring for vulnerable people in a community, mm-hmm, that time is now. I think resources that come from state and federal government have always been kind of considered a stable source, and I think that's in question,
yeah,
right now. Mm-hmm. And perhaps one of the things that we can all learn from from this moment is how very important it is for the strength of giving to come from the community in which that care is being provided. And we're certainly attentive to that and have always had a strong, we've been able to do the creative things we do because we are very much grassroots fundraisers and have been able to raise money that doesn't come from mandate or policy decision, but it comes from hearts of people who see needs and say, you know, we could do that better. And that's what a lot of what MICA does is about, is trying to to do things that maybe even haven't been done before, but make sense in the context of the people that we're trying to care for.
Yeah.
And so it's a really important thing for us to, as a community, kind of look inward and say, you know, like, whatever happens at higher levels of affairs, that doesn't change who I am and who we are. And in fact, you know, whether it's $5 or $5,000 or whatnot, it really goes a long way in trying to formulate a strong community that has the capacity to care for our neighbors. And you've heard me say it before, we already have the money. God has the money, and it's in your pocket.
It's in your pocket. Yeah, that's what it comes down to. So Jill, I asked Megan earlier about when especially the first year, but the past couple of years of being able to speak and look out over the crowd. I can remember you the first year at Herkamp Park as people were going out and just walking by you, and you had just this, you had sort of the shock and awe.
Yeah.
View of everything, and I just remember you and I mouthed to each other, "Wow," because we had kind of had been doing things and had watched the numbers in the people involved, and even that first year, you wondered, "Well, so a lot of people have given. It's kind of a messy night. Are they going to show up?" And they did. For you to see the last few years, kind of the fruit of everybody coming out, it's got to be pretty cool.
It is. It's incredibly gratifying to see the way that the community supports MICA, especially this time of year, you know, because, like you said, we look tired. we do.
This is a tough, I hadn't really realized it until this year.
Mm-hmm.
Just all that you do on top of everything else. And in the summer can be bad. I mean, you do a lot of things in the summer.
It's funny because, like, everybody starts freaking out about people being unhoused in the summertime, and that is not when we see and care for the most people. And so it's always out of sight, out of mind, because people are not outside and they're not necessarily paying attention to it the same way during the wintertime, but it's there, and the need is real, and, you know, the bandwidth that it takes us to survive the winter is a lot. The bandwidth it takes to help for our neighbors to survive the winter is a lot. And, you know, it's not the summertime when, you know, the lives of people who are outside collide with the lives of people who live outside that is the most critical moment. It's the wintertime.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, back to you. But it's true that just to see it all.
Yeah. And especially during the winter when we're working hard to support our neighbors' basic needs, you know, like not freezing to death because they have to sleep outside. That's what we're spending a lot of time, and not just MICA staff, our whole legion of volunteers who support making that ministry work. And so it coming in the moment of the winter, you know, when we're tired, when we've been doing a lot, and being able to see people from the community show up for us, you know, that especially that first year was crazy meaningful for me. I And that first year, it was the first year. We didn't know what to expect. We had planned, you know, maybe 200 people. We had planned doing it on that green space in front of the Methodist Church downtown, that little tiny green space, right? We had planned that.
Postage stamp now when you think about it.
Yeah, and suddenly it just exploded in terms of numbers. And we had to scramble to, like, figure out what park we were going to be in that would fit all the people and scramble to figure out how are we going to provide soup to all these people? How are we going to make sure this is safe for everybody? So we were just in like full on constant panic mode about this event. And because of how well it was going, you know, how many people were interested, the whole thing was a whirlwind. And then, like, night of, when everybody actually showed up,
yeah,
when we had more than 500 people in Herkamp Park, and looking around at crowded under that event tent that was too small, you know, for 500 people, and looking over all those heads in that tent and understanding that they were there to support the work that Micah does. It was a big deal. And last year at Riverfront Park, the second year, was even bigger, was even more people. And so that proved, like, this isn't a fluke. This is who we are. You know, this is who Fredericksburg is. We show up for this event, for the work that Micah is doing to build a community where people don't have to sleep outside. This is Fredericksburg. And so all that to say, like, this third year, even though, you know, there's a lot of noise right now. It's a uncertain time nationwide with everything that's happening. And there's a lot of distractions. So it's a little bit slower to get started this year, I think. You know, not quite as many people signed up as I thought would be at this point, because of all this noise. But we have shown every time that we've done it that Fredericksburg does show up for this. And so I'm confident with 15 days to go that Fredericksburg is gonna show up for this. And we're gonna be at Riverfront Park with maybe 800 people who are there to build a community where people don't have to sleep outside. And that, you know, that work that we do transcends the noise. You know, that's more important than the minutia and then the bickering on social media and all of that. That this is way more important than that. This is a chance for an individual who might feel afraid, who might feel powerless, who might be wrong-footed and confused because of all the noise. That person can do something. And that something is sign up and support Coldest Night of the Year. You know, don't give in to the powerlessness. Like, do what you can here locally. And so in that sense, Coldest Night is at a spectacular time right now. It is a chance to do something that will help people around you that you see every day.
It'll get you away from, like you say, all that negativity or just the worry.
Yeah.
This is a chance for a few hours to get away and to give financially to something that's way bigger than you, and you just become part of this.
And I do want to say, it matters that you show up. If you're not sure because of just how unstable things feel, if you're not sure that you can give a bunch of money, if you're not sure that your friends and family can give what they gave last year to support you, it's okay. You know, still sign up, still do what you can, and please show up, because, like, you being there in front of us and walking that 5K alongside people who care about the same thing, that really matters.
It did. Yeah, you're right. Because it shows others and it shows the community that you're not alone.
Exactly. And we are going to have so much soup. So we want people to show up and eat this soup.
So and this is a rain or shine event.
Absolutely. Now, I am hoping for shine, right?
Yes, we would like shine. We haven't had shine yet, though.
We haven't. The last couple of years have been like gloomy, kind of drizzly. But even in inclement weather, we are still out there walking. This coldest night of the year started in Canada, you know, many, many years ago. It was just based in Canada for a long time before it came to the U.S. So we get to talk to the Canadians as we're planning the event and whatnot. And the idea of canceling the event because of a little bit of snow or cold temperatures, we're talking to Canadians. You know?
Yeah, you're not going to get anybody saying.
Yeah. So this is absolutely a rain or shine, no matter how cold it is. Even if there's a little bit of snow, even if there's a little bit of ice, we will be out there. So that's Saturday, February 22nd. Check-in starts at 4, walk starts at 5, no matter what.
Well, and that's, I think, another thing, just the fact that it's, you know, it's not, you know, the middle of May in a nice, you know, you have to bundle up and come to this. But like you both have said, I mean, it does show you that there are people in the community that don't get to go home afterwards and mm-hmm. all of that.
Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, the conversations that people have when they're out on the 5K with their teams or with just mm-hmm. people who they're meeting as they're walking. Those conversations are about like, when I was doing this walk last year, I saw a tent in that little crop of woods over there. I wonder if somebody has to live there. Yeah. You know, what would it be like if I had to be out here in this kind of thing? And that is one of many cool things about Coldest Night of the Year. It's a fundraiser that is like perfectly geared for like the culture of MICA. We at MICA are not like black tie gala kind of people.
No, that would be.
Yeah, we are day in and day out, like down and dirty, doing the work with our neighbors.
Yeah.
And so Coldest Night of the Year and a 5K walk at night in the winter is like exactly the kind of stuff that we are comfortable with.
Did somebody just come across this and see a story on it or something?
Oh, that first year, if I remember correctly, they reached out to us. It was coming to the U.S. for the first time, and they were looking for organizations that line up with their mission, Coldest Night's mission, which is to combat hurt, hunger, and homelessness. And so they called us, and we talked about it, and we wondered if it was a good idea, and we definitely made the right choice, because this event touches a thread in Fredericksburg for sure. It activates
people. I want to say we watched other communities do it the first year. And then we was like, okay, we could try it. Maybe we'll raise a little bit of money, mm-hmm. get some people together, and it's been a good event for Fredericksburg.
Now, the very first time we met Jill and you told me about it and said, we'd like to come in and talk about it. And I was like, yeah, okay, it's another event, whatever.
And we're not, the work we do is so hard and so widespread on so many levels. Like, we're not a big event organization. Right. You know, this is really, you know, our you know, maybe we're a one trick pony in that way, but like, this is really our big event. Otherwise, everything we do is one-on-one conversations and telling the story and that kind of thing. So this is really it. For ways that people can come together on one night, help us to raise some of the money that helps keep us going throughout the year.
That's the cool thing about this. That you can, and you, knowing that you're involved in this, being seen is important, but the money also is what you can move forward on.
Yes.
Quick break, and we'll come back again to sign up for this.
That's CNOY.com/Fredericksburg.
It is February the 22nd, as Jill said. 4 o'clock is check-in at Riverfront Park, and then the walk starts a little after 5 o'clock on the 22nd. Megan Cotter and Jill Clare here this morning from MICA will conclude when we come back on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Hear the show anytime by subscribing to the Town Talk podcast on your favorite podcast platform. And now, here's your host, Ted Schubel.
Good stuff again this morning with MICA Ecumenical Ministries, Megan Cotter and Jill Clare here. Coldest Night of the Year is on the 22nd, and we will get to that and run down all the information you need in just a second. Before we wrap up, and there's not much, I guess, to talk about it, but Jeremiah Community moves forward. Mm-hmm. And if you're looking for ways to raise money and get involved in there, that's next.
We are moving fast and furiously ahead. We got our rezoning in January. I mean, almost literally a month ago. Mm-hmm. Well, just under a month ago.
Yeah.
And we are getting, we've built a great team of community people to help us with the development aspect of this. We are in the middle of site planning, which will take us a good part of this year while we raise money. It's a $17.5 million raise that we need to get a community center and the first 50 homes online. But we will be in site planning and fundraising for most of this year, hoping to have a permit for preparing the land by January or so. And we hope by next summer you're going to start seeing houses go up out there on the property.
As fast as time moves, that's not long at all.
It feels like light years away, but we're so much closer than we have been.
Well, we will do many shows on that.
We will.
But I thought it was just hasn't gone away, and I know there's all kinds of stuff going on.
And I think it's important to say, like, you know, now that we've gotten through the rezoning, I think it's important for people to know, like, we're having some really meaningful conversation about what does it look like to have for the people who will eventually live in Jeremiah community to have a place to stay right now. And you know, we don't know quite what that means, and we're working with some community people on trying to figure out how we kind of create some interim solutions. And so, you know, more on that later. But I just want people to know we're thinking about it, and, you know, we're certainly not, you know, 2 years is a long way away. But
a lot of work has to be done.
You know, it's so much closer than we ever have been, but it is still a ways away. And we are not happy with having, you know, that amount of time have no solution for people who are really very vulnerable and need a place to stay while we're getting there. So we're having some good conversation about that as well.
Well, I look forward when it warms up to just go out and see the, you know, talk to some of the people involved with the site planning and just to look at it and sort of catch that vision.
Yeah.
So we'll be talking much more about the Jeremiah community. But first things first, Jill. We've got to get 800 people plus into that park. And we're not there yet.
Yes, but we're going to do it.
We're going to do it.
I know by the end of today, we'll have 400 registered.
Yeah.
We're at like 385 or something right now. 385 people signed up to be there. And I know we'll hit 400 today. And I am confident that I think we'll be in the 800 range. And so that is Saturday, February 22nd, you can sign up, and you should sign up today to get started at cnoy.com/Fredericksburg. All the details about the event are on that page, and that's where you register. And then 15 days from now, on the 22nd, we will all gather at Riverfront Park to celebrate the success. We have an ambitious goal. Well, we are aiming to raise $200,000 with this event, and that's a lot higher than we've ever shot before in terms of goal setting. But we know we can do it because Fredericksburg shows up for this event and shows up for the work of Micah.
And what a celebration it will be! Because it will, and that's one of the things. Go to the website, go look at that, and look at that number, and know that you can reach it if you're one of those people walking, and if you're one of those people giving money and getting others, getting friends and families or and coworkers and people who don't even live in this area to get involved. Say, this is my area. Can you give a little bit?
No, exactly. I mean, last year, I have a couple friends who live out in California, and last year I bugged them about it, right? And so they signed up and they did their own little version of the 5K out in California that night. And but they were raising money for Micah's event, so they earned themselves beanies, and I mailed them the beanies.
And there's something to be said, because I'm raising money right now for this polar plunge with Special Olympics Virginia, and there's something about going around the office and just saying, "Hey, I don't see your name on the list," which is so totally out of but just to go and do that, and people have given.
Yeah, exactly.
They're giving something, and that's how you get to the. That's how you get to $200,000.
And, you know, it's a cool thing to talk about. It's a nighttime, wintertime 5K. Yeah. So be like, hey, I'm doing this to walk alongside people experiencing homelessness. It's going to be cold. Give me $20 to support me. And you can, I mean, seriously, ask your dentist. Like, ask everybody that you know.
Yeah.
And you'll be surprised how many people are willing to just give a little bit to support that work.
It adds up, or even sometimes people give more than you ever expected.
Exactly.
And that's how you can keep it up. So it's going to happen.
It's
going
to
happen. But to get the 800 people that we need on the 22nd, we need you to get involved. So do that.
Spread the word. Sign up. CNOY.com/Fredericksburg.
Jill Claire and Megan Cotter from Micah Ecumenical Ministries. Thank you both. Get some rest. I don't know where and how to get rest, but try to get some rest.
In March.
March.
Thanks for listening. We will see you Monday.
Thanks for listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. Hear the show anytime by subscribing to the Town Talk podcast on your favorite podcast platform. The Glenn Beck program is next on News Talk 1230 WFVA, focused on Fredericksburg.